Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show for this Friday, June 21st, 2019. Episode number 15 of the program, emanating from the bunker in lovely but wet North Regina. I am your host, Rod Peterson, as the sign says, and the mic, and the mug, and the laptop. Riders lost last night 44-41 to the Ottawa Red Blacks in the nation's capital. We're going to be jumping into that in mere moments with John Frenzy. And from CTV Morning Live, the great Daryl Rommeld, he of Norwegian descent, the bandit. Before we get going, do you want to say hi to your countrymen? You know that we're huge in Norway.
I heard that, and I thought once that was out there, you needed a true Norwegian. And since my great-grandpa came over to Saskatchewan from Norway, here I am.
Yes, so hello to everybody in Norway. We'll get that out of the way right away. Good evening. How was supper? On the program today, coming up in mere moments, we're going to get quick thoughts on the Riders, and then Theron Fleury is going to join us live on video chat. Gene Mikowski, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, in the studio. And then also Colby Armstrong from Sportsnet in advance of round one of the NHL draft tonight, and live from Vancouver, NHL draft. Les Lazarek, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades. I got a full list of things to get to, but we'll get to those later. Frenzy, first, Riders lost the 0-2. What did you think of the game last night?
Thought it was pretty good. Only time. Too much time. Too much time left in the game. We could have won it. Very, very impressed with the Cody. 27 out of 34, 360 yards. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. Liked the way he handled the football. He threw that football decisively, the short passes, the long ones. No hesitation at all, no interceptions. He's really benefited from the coaching of
Steve Walsh.
Yeah, Steve Walsh, the former
Dallas Cowboy
and University of Miami quarterback. Yeah, I thought it was a good football game. Riders really impressed me offensively, which we've been hollering about. We did see some beautiful offense by the Riders. Haven't seen that kind of offensive display for a long time. Defensively, thought there was some holes there. They were, Ottawa were getting too many big gains, particularly in the passes. And some of our backs, defensive backs, had a bad night, like Nick Marshall. He had a tough time out there.
Right. But I'm going to pause you guys. There is your appetizer. The John Frenzy analysis of last night's Rider loss in Ottawa, the main course of the Rider postmortem coming up later on. But first, we're going out on video chat right now. Theo Fleury, a big hero of ours and all of yours, is joining us this morning. How you doing, Theo?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're okay, despite the Riders losing last night. Where do you join us from this morning? You in Cowtown or where are you at?
I'm in Calgary today, yeah. And I made sure I wore my Sask made hat that I bought a couple weeks ago in Regina there. So
well, here's the thing. We got a lot of questions to get to with you, Theo. There's a lot of topics that you can cover. Now, are you a CFL fan, A, and B, yes. Who do you cheer for?
Well, let's see. When I lived in Manitoba, I was a Bombers fan. And then when I moved to Moose Jaw and played junior there, I was obviously a big Rough Riders fan. And seeing I live in Alberta now, I have to support my Calgary Stampeders. I used to be a season ticket holder at the Stamps and for many years. And so it was great to see them win another Grey Cup last year.
So, well, times are good if you're a Stamps fan. So we'll call you a Prairie CFL fan. That works for me.
Yes.
You're too busy to be a season ticket holder anywhere now. Tell the world and our viewers here, which is 89% Saskatchewan viewers, what Theo Fleury's up to. Last I saw, you were in Estevan a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, since I wrote my autobiography in 2009, you know, I've been exclusively traveling all over North America speaking about trauma, mental health, and addiction. And I was in Estevan supporting a great group called Envision, who supports all kinds of trauma survivors, mental health issues, and addiction issues. And, you know, I was in Weyburn the day before, worked with some frontline workers, and then obviously it was a big anniversary for the Envision Group in Estevan. Was there to raise a whole bunch of money for an amazing organization.
Well, you're doing incredible work, and I know how good it feels. So good on you, Theo. And I'm going to turn these guys loose on you in a second because they got all the sports questions. But one of our producers here was digging into your background, and they said you just did a TED Talk in Vancouver to do with curiosity. So what's that all about?
Well, you know, it's quite an honor to get asked to do a TED Talk. And you know, so I went there and, you know, I think, you know, when I came out with my own story, you know, I was curious about the healing process, how well I could get, what needed to happen on my end in order to get to, you know, a place where, you know, I could stop drinking, using drugs, and really start to, you know, unpack and unravel, you know, my own past history with trauma experience. And what I discovered was, you know, all different kinds of holistic ways to overcome, you know, some of the issues I had not only as a kid, but as an adult as well.
Well, congratulations. And you're right. It is the number one weapon is a holistic healing for those issues. All right, guys. I know I could talk to Theo about this till midnight. So you guys take over with what you want to talk to Theo about. Lynch?
Theo, John Lynch here. Do you find more acceptance to your programs now than, say, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, there's no question that, you know, obviously I think mental health is a top of mind topic. And, you know, I believe it is probably the biggest epidemic we have on the planet. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of awareness out there. But, you know, what I find is we have the highest awareness probably in the history of our planet that, you know, that people struggle with different kinds of illnesses mentally. But on the other side of the coin, we have the highest suicide rates on the planet right now. And so why isn't all of this awareness, you know, being turned into action and getting people well? And so that's probably the $1 million question that we need to have answered quickly so that, you know, these unnecessary deaths are happening by people, you know, taking their own lives.
Your tweets to the Prime Minister, Theo, are highly entertaining. Your thoughts on politics, because you're not afraid to dabble into that pool either.
No. You know, I think he's the stupidest man on the planet. No, he's definitely has zero leadership skills whatsoever. And he has alienated the West. And obviously, with this week's announcements of C-48 and C-69, you know, I think us as Westerners really have to take a look at, do we really want to be a part of, you know, Canada? And, you know, I think we need to step up the separation talk.
I tell you, I've heard about this for about 15 years. I've never heard it more and then right now there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's warranted, you know. His dad was not a fan of the West, and obviously he isn't as well. You know, we've allowed the Americans to become the number one oil producers in the world. And, you know, anybody with half a brain would know that the West exists and the people have their jobs because of the oil and gas industry, and we produce the cleanest oil on the planet. And, you know, we've allowed other entities to come into, you know, our country and, you know, give the oil and gas industry a very bad name, which is unwarranted. And, you know, I don't know what, you know, what the future holds. And, you know, I'm I'm an Albertan, and you know, and if you know anything about our province and even Saskatchewan, you know, we have used the oil and gas industry to provide lots of amazing services to people all across the country. And you know, it's a sad time to be a Canadian. And you know, obviously, I hope that somewhere down the road that common sense, you know, comes into play.
Well, there is a genuine feeling out there that the guy really doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he's a reformed drama teacher, I believe, or a deputy drama teacher, and then he becomes the Prime Minister of Canada. That's quite a big jump.
Yeah, well, you can't fix stupid. I've tried it. So, you know, obviously, you know, it's just really frustrating to, you know, watch this guy on a daily basis take apart our democracy that, you know, many of our war veterans fought, you know, to the death so that we could, you know, have an amazing life, an amazing country. And he's dismantling it one law at a time. And, you know, it's got to stop.
Theo, I'm going to switch gears on you. Happy birthday. We share a birthday. It is next week, June 29th.
Yes.
So happy birthday to you.
Yes.
29. We've known each other for about almost 15 years now. Theo's been a fantastic individual to be a part of. So thank you for your friendship. I got to use myself as a vehicle for the smart board. It's lighting up with all these questions. Besides Calgary, the number one question coming up on this board right now is, what city did you enjoy playing in the most?
Well, obviously Calgary. You know, I, you know, when I retired from the game, when I left the game, you know, I was contemplating, you know, because I could pretty much live anywhere. But you know, like I said earlier, you know, I wanted to, you know, I was very lucky and fortunate in my career to, you know, make the living that I had, and you know, when I was deciding where I wanted to live. You know, Calgary was right at the top of the list because of, you know, their giving spirit, how much they contribute to millions of charity organizations all over the province. And so now that I work in the field of trauma, mental health and addiction, and know that, you know, the mental health system in Canada is completely run over, you know, I knew that I could come to Alberta, back to Calgary, and you know, start my own foundation and start to do some really good work and really work on the legacy piece of my life.
But when you were on the ice, what place other than Calgary did you enjoy the most?
Oh, I enjoyed every place I played. You know, I think you know, Colorado was an amazing organization. You know, it was like playing on an all-star team when you play with Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg and Patrick Waugh and Claude Lemieux, and, you know, the list just goes on and on. And, you know, then I went to New York for 3 years, and anybody that gets the opportunity to play at Madison Square Garden every night, you know, was pretty an amazing experience. And then obviously, you know, my last year to be able to wear the Blackhawk, you know, on your chest is probably one of the biggest thrills and honors that you can have.
Theo, one of the great things about this show is the viewers can ask questions themselves. They're writing in, and Doug in Indian Head says, Theo's a prairie treasure. Can you talk about playing for Terry Crisp? We got to meet him in Nashville in December, a real treat. You won a cup with him. I can't imagine you two wouldn't have loved each other. This seemed like to be the same kind of guys.
Yeah, you know, I have... you know, a lot of respect for Terry Crisp. You know, I wasn't supposed to play one game in the National Hockey League because I was obviously, you know, somebody said one time that I was too small or something. I don't know, something like that.
Just about everybody.
But, you know, Terry Crisp was the guy that gave me the opportunity, gave me the chance, and allowed me to make mistakes and, you know, really sort of develop into, you know, the player that I was. And you know, he was hard on me, but it was, I think it was out of love and respect for one another. And you know, obviously when I came to Calgary, January 1st, 1989, I didn't know that, you know, 6 months later, you know, we'd be carrying around the Stanley Cup in the Montreal Forum, but without Crispy's support and, like I said, allowing me to, you know, make some mistakes early on in my career, you know, I probably wouldn't have a Stanley Cup.
Well, Theo, I was an Oilers fan and a Pats fan in the 80s, so there's that. Now, you're one of my heroes, no doubt about it. I was so stoked to see that you were coming on. So keep it going, and I know we're going to hear the best is yet to come, maybe a political run. I don't know. Just keep doing what you're doing and being Theo, all right?
Yes, I will for sure. Thanks so much, guys, and continued success with the show.
All right. And we claim him as a Saskatchewan guy. You see his hat.
You got it.
Saskatchewan.
All right. I am. Yeah, perfect. All right. Theron Fleury joining us from Calgary this morning on the Rod Peterson Show. Ryan, what are we doing here? Are we going to take a commercial break? Yeah, he's telling me to take a commercial break. So the warm-up included the fire, the sizzle from Theo. When we come back, we'll delve into more of last night's Rough Riders loss at Ottawa. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on a Friday morning on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Friday morning sports update. If Mitch Marner signs an offer sheet with another team or other restricted free agents, the Maple Leafs might just let them walk. General Manager Kyle Dubas says he would have to look at each case on an individual basis if a rival organization tried to poach Marner or fellow RFA forwards Kasperi Kapanen and Andreas Johnsson after July 1st. To address concerns raised after several notable missed calls during the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NHL is expanding its video review process to allow an unlimited number of coaching challenges. Great! And the Blue Jays came away with a 7-5 victory against the Angels on Billy McKinney's walk-off two-run homer in the bottom of the 10th inning last night. Teoscar Hernandez, Eric Sogard, and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. also had homers for Toronto. But we're talking about the Rough Riders last night, 44-41 loss in Ottawa. We got Lynch's thoughts right out of the gate to start the show. If you missed it, go scroll back on that white arrow right to the start of the show, and you can see John Frenzy. He'll be with us for the whole 2 hours today. But the Bandit, Daryl Rommel's here from CTV Morning Live. Your take on the game last
night. Literally the only person that ever calls me that.
The Bandit.
Ever.
And I will be the only one, yes.
After, of course, my hometown Brooks Bandits. You know what? I liked a lot of what I saw in that football game. The 11 points they gave up over on turnovers was a little bit troubling. John Rhino kicked his coverage on a couple of couple of opportunities, but he was able to clean that up. Just giving Cody Fajardo the leash to make mistakes and to try things and open up the playbook. So many times you see the starting quarterback like Zach Caleros go down, and then the playbook goes from here to here, and it's 28 handoffs to a guy like William Powell to end the quarter. I like that they gave him the chance. They took some shots and let him stand in there. Opportunity breeds success, and he had a lot of success last night.
What did you think, John, about the 15-yard penalty on McKenna Henry on the sidelines when Dominic big out there, Daryl, in rural Saskatchewan? You are. But I'm like, hey, he's just bracing himself. And then I saw the video again, and it was a literal intentional hit, which led to 15 yards, which ended up in a field goal for the Ottawa Red Blacks, which they won the game by 3.
All right, here comes Lynch.
Let her go, John.
I don't think it was intentional. Well, he's standing there, and the receiver runs into him. He runs into him.
You didn't see the little
shoulder like that. He had to go back like that. He had to move his shoulder.
He's a victim.
He's a victim. Yeah, I really think he is. I mean, the guy, look at him after.
That sounds like a Rough Rider apologist. That sounds like an apologist.
No, guys, I didn't. I thought that was an accident. Definite accident. The receiver ran into him. Sure. Pushed out of bounds.
That's going to be a popular opinion amongst Rider Nation.
Well, overall, and that's our poll question this morning. I didn't post it. Ryan did, our producer here today, because Clark is out of Vancouver at the NHL draft. It's how do you feel about the Riders after last night? I'm very interested to see what the poll results are. Oh, I don't have the monitor up, so at some point we'll get that and I'll see what the poll results are. But I'm hearing everything from, hey, better than I thought they were, to the season's over and everything in between, Daryl. I mean, what's your takeaway now that the team's 0-2?
I was glad to see that they didn't go with their original plan of getting Isaac Harker a few reps. He's a young guy, played for the Colorado School of Mines, and doesn't have a lot of pro experience. I don't know the last time that he made a start, so to give Fajardo the leash to make some mistakes was a good thing. I think the defense needs to clean up a few things on their end. Not the Chris Jones defense we're used to seeing from a year ago. But do I think that it's all over, it's all doom and gloom, and the Rough Riders should pack things up and prepare for next season? Absolutely not. There's a few things that need to clean up. I think Craig Dickinson's a smart man, and he'll be able to make the adjustments necessary.
What a difference, okay? The way I feel about it, and he does. I thought it was a great effort by the Riders. Just ran out of time. 41 points.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't a good effort.
They looked good out there. The quarterback, he looked good. What did I say? 27 out of 34, 360 yards, 2 touchdowns. No interceptions, guys.
No interceptions.
He played great, threw some great passes there, particularly the slants right over the middle to Evans. Defensively, I thought the front four was not playing up to what they should be playing at. I mean, you got Charleston Hughes, an all-star at the right end. You got the right defensive tackle and Mika Johnson. There's Zach Evans in there. And in the end is Edward A.C. Leonard, who was an all-star down east. So they should have played better collectively than they did last night. Now, I'm sure they'll get that straightened out for the next game against the Argos on July 1st.
You talked about Nick Marshall getting picked on a little bit. Was it necessarily Nick Marshall making mistakes, or was Dom Davis that good, his accuracy that good, that he was able to get the ball into a tight corner and make Nick Marshall look bad?
I went to bed last night upset.
I'm very confident in
that the Riders lost because I predicted that they would win. I'm a believer in Cody Fajardo. From what he showed us in the preseason, I thought he showed us enough. And then he goes in there last night and goes lights out in his first career start.
Absolutely.
As you guys have mentioned many times, 360 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the Fajardo thing was awesome. But the defensive sag was what I didn't expect. And Nick Marshall, you know, you're talking about the 5 things I put on my Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson, 5 quick thoughts on the game. I said, poor Nick Marshall. I didn't say he played bad. I didn't say anything negative about him, but it was a long night for Nick Marshall because they were picking on him.
Yeah,
his coverage looked tremendous. You're right. Dominic Davis was putting balls, just darts on
Rhymes
his receivers.
Rhymes was catching a couple of big ones, and they were just unbelievable throws by Davis.
They were unbelievable throws. So my point was, this is what I reconciled it as when I closed my eyes and I went to bed last night, was this wasn't as much of a defensive meltdown as it was a quarterback clinic.
Could have been the emergence of 2 stars.
Right, yep. Two young guys. And I was on the radio in Winnipeg this morning, TSN 1290, and I said exactly that. We've been talking about it for months. And Lynch and I over coffee sometimes. Burris gone. Lule gone. Kevin Glenn gone. Darian Durant gone. This era is over, who are the next guys going to be? And up until last night, and granted, it's only been 2 weeks, but all of a sudden, Dominic Davis looks like Henry Burris, and Cody Fajardo looked like a Hall of Famer last night. So to me, it wasn't as much about the defense. And by the way, they're going to come together a lot more than what they have shown the last 2 weeks. It was about the quarterback play. That's something we should celebrate. But why I was upset was that the Riders lost. A, I would rather that they'd won 4-3 than lost 44-41.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's raving about how entertaining the game was, and it was. That's what you want as a fan, but you should want wins more.
Yeah, but we're going nuts over the quarterback thing in this province. In Canada, Rough Rider fans are. And this guy looks to me like he's the NGP. Next Rider great. Next Rider great quarterback.
Next great. It's the NGQ.
Next great quarterback.
NGQ.
That's a Lynch. Spend some time around Lynch and you'll get to learn his.
The guy looked terrific to me. I don't know. Maybe I got carried away, but I was watching with Tom Shepard and Eric Tillman, and they thought he looked terrific too. We weren't expecting that. Hey? We weren't expecting him to do that.
And
no interceptions?
I'm probably one of the first that should have apologized for what I said earlier on in the season after last night's game, granted a small sample size. I said that the best quarterback on the depth chart behind Zach Caleros was Nick Marshall.
Yep.
He was fantastic at Auburn.
Yep.
He could probably still
That's
play
right.
the position.
And I'm surprised.
Cody Fajardo really surprised me last
I'm
night.
Surprised they haven't used him some ways. But he took Auburn to the championship, the Southeastern
Conference. Fantastic.
A victory over Alabama, for God's sake. Yeah.
Dude, you don't beat the Tide without having some talent.
That's for sure.
Well, lots to break down on the football game. I don't know who could have covered Rhymes better than Nick Marshall. That's the thing. That was one of my points.
And it was all over. I thought the coverage was great. I got to say.
I thought the coverage was great, too. How he found him, I have no idea. The other thing is, a guy, we should start this real early, should just stay away from social media 24 hours after a Rider loss. You should just do that. Because now I'm seeing guys that I respect are all over John Ryan. You couldn't blame McAdoo last night.
Nope.
Because it was an offensive cornucopia.
Yep.
So who are we going to blame? Let's pick on the punter.
Yeah. We got that
He's got
philosophy
a leg.
Here.
Oh, my
right?
goodness.
Well, you know this, Ramo. That we're bad in Saskatchewan. We're picking on somebody. Yep. Want to complain.
Got to find someone.
Yeah.
Got to find someone. Maybe they just underestimated the power of John Ryan. The guy still has a lot left in him.
Of course.
What's his average? Over 52?
I think on the season, 49.3.
Yeah. You got a scheme for it. I mean,
he's going to win some games for you guys.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Plus, he might throw you a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. He did in the NFL, as you know.
He might.
Seeing some interesting comments come through on the Facebook feed, and we're going to try and answer as many as we can. Some are saying, why didn't Craig Dickinson challenge the catch? That was the Rhymes catch later in the game. Well, he couldn't see it clearly. I mean, again, this is a new coaching staff in a lot of ways that they have their own things to figure out and as to how they're going to get, you need to challenge a play down to the sidelines to Craig Dickinson, this kind of thing. I mean, yeah, it's a work in progress. Everybody expects perfection right out of the gate, just like they did with this show. What's today? Episode 15. We took about 12 to achieve perfection. Wouldn't you say, Paul? And by the way, you're not sitting in your own seat today. What's the problem? Paul doesn't like people sitting in his seat on the sponsor's couch over there. And now he's sitting in another chair.
But by the way, the coach should have challenged that one because that ball hit the ground.
He should have. Yeah. But how would he know from his vantage point is
I
my
guess
point.
Not,
that's not his responsibility. It's the guys
way to see it.
Upstairs that need to tell him that. Yeah,
that's right.
All. And
that's
clearly
right.
They didn't. So these are some of the little things that need to get worked out. The problem for the Riders is the tough division that they're in, they can't afford to be in too big of a hole here.
No.
And as the show goes along, we will be talking about the next game, and that is the Toronto Argonauts coming here Canada Day, July 1st. And if you don't think Corey Chamberlain's a little fired up for that football game, but before we talk about that, I'm interested to see what the Argos do tomorrow against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. But they're telling me we need to take a timeout. We will tell you that our coffee provider on the program is Ambassador Coffee, set design furnished by Source Office Furniture in Regina. And Darren DuPont, who at some point today will make an appearance on this show, he's busy working in his office because we've got inventory in. I'm not joking. He's opening the rodpeterson.com online store.
Fantastic.
Mugs, stickers, merchandise to come.
Is he selling socks in
golf shirts, and oddly enough, not socks. But how do we not? We need to get socks.
I'm a big fan
available.
Of socks.
Well, and of course, the Houston trip is on sale as well, which we announced on Wednesday, and it already seats going fast. You can join the Rod Peterson Show in Houston, Texas, December 5th to the 10th. Lynch, you going to come?
Yeah, I think so.
I would love to have you there. Two live shows, Texans, Broncos, plus NCAA playoff college football. You can check that out at rodpeterson.com/trip. The program continues after this break. You're watching on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
We are back, originating from the bunker north of Dewdney, and I hope the rain has quit. However, we had the funeral for my mother yesterday out in Milestone, Saskatchewan, and I spent all this time around the farmers. They did about 24 to 36 hours of a happy dance, literal happy dance out there with the rain, and they tell me that they could do with another inch of rain would be just fine. Lynch, did you know that?
Yep, I
do. You
sure
still
did.
Remember
I
how
believe
to,
that. I
you remember
it.
How to farm?
I certainly do.
Of course. And we're pleased to welcome, the morning after this Rough Riders 44-41 loss in Ottawa, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Riders Plaza of Honor inductee, the great Gino Makowski, member of the Sask Party. Welcome to the program, Gino.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You seem just completely mesmerized by what's going on around you. This is your debut in the big show. What do you think?
It's pretty nice. We got the green screen here. This looks first class.
Wow, it is. Yeah, well, I thank Paul and his crew at IKS. I got to do that. And Darren DuPont for all the work that he put in. And I just love the fact that you're the latest Hall of Famer to roll through here. Wes Cates was in that chair a couple days ago. Hoppy, Chris Getzlaff on his way to the plaza. So thanks for the support, Gene. And Lynch was all over you about the football game. I think I'm just going to go fill up my coffee and let you two talk about the game last night. What'd you think, Gene?
Well, it was a good game. Of course, we'd like the Riders to have won that. You know what? Ottawa made a lot of plays, but we did too. I like how we got the ball downfield. Fajardo, he did a good job. He wasn't shy. Case in point, right before the first half, he just went after it. He said, let's get the ball down the field. Let's take some shots at it. And guys were making plays. And so it's a great CFL football game. One of those where it's high scoring and the offenses seem to be humming. And of course it's a loss, but I'm a little more confident.
It was real tough for Corey going in there. I mean, that's about the first game he'd been for 60 minutes in about 6 years. So the pressure was on, to say the least. I thought he played tremendous.
Yeah, he did. And it was a good mix of run and pass, and we moved the ball, and we didn't hang our heads or slump our shoulders. Offensively, just kept going and making plays, and so it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch, yeah. For sure. But just put your player hat on for a second. You're walking out of that stadium as a Rough Rider, let's just say a lineman. How do you feel after a game like that?
Well, there's no moral victories in pro sports, right? You worry about the wins and losses, of course. You realize there's something to build on. You worry about how you individually played. Did you help the team win, or were you a negative to the effort? So those are some of the things you think about. But, after the game, you're 0-2, you realize that, and so the pressure just keeps mounting, and you gotta come back, and you gotta bounce back, and this week against Toronto at home here, we gotta do something. I think stay in the hunt.
That's a big game against Toronto. On the following Saturday, Calgary's here, so next week's pretty big for this football team.
Absolutely, yeah. No, the West is going to be tough, as it always is. It seems to be every year, year after year. You can't fall behind, or you're scrambling. So this game in particular, as you mentioned, is something I think we have to pull a win out of.
Our prompter telling us breaking news in the CFL this morning. Brandon Bridge has signed with the Montreal Alouettes, and CFL.ca is reporting that it is a one-year deal. So Air Canada is touching down in Montreal with the Alouettes, and a good time for them as they have a bye here in week two. Gino, you've been very deft politically here in answering questions about this football team this from last night. I look at you and say, what are you talking about? But look, let's examine it big picture. The plan was to have Zach Kolaros as the quarterback, and he got hurt three plays into week one, and all of a sudden it's crisis mode, and Fajardo all of a sudden bails him out. Now, one of the things I thought about last night when I laid down to bed to think about this game was that, again, Jeremy O'Day knows what he's doing. You think they signed Cody Fajardo by accident? Of course they didn't. They would have put all the work and the homework in and knew exactly what they were getting. Right? Your thoughts on, and I want to tell people, Jeremy's 6 months into the job, as is head coach Craig Dickinson. There's a lot of things that need to come together here. Your take on your buddy Jeremy and the job that he's taken over and the job that he's done in those 6 months.
Well, he's done a great job. I mean, he's been building on this since he retired in 2010, I believe. And he's just a solid guy. He knows football. He's a smart person and very competitive. And you know, as you mentioned, that you can do all the analysis, the stats, all that, but players got to go out and play. It's not up to the GM to perform once you think you know what you got. You have to, you know, keep that level that you think they have, but you got to raise it, because teams are going to start game planning against you. They're going to start watching film and see what this person can do and can't do. And so you got to continue to keep improving, especially if you're a younger guy. You got to learn quickly, and there's no time to adjust and wait for things. You got to perform relatively soon. So they saw something in him, I think. And but back to the original question, GMs can do so much. They sign and they scout, and they do what the coaches type of player they want them to find. But again, it's always about the players and what they do on the field.
And that's my point is, I will always be a Jeremy O'Day fan, personally and professionally. But if you really want to look at that game last night, 41 points. Who expected that?
Nobody.
Right.
Absolutely nobody.
So who would have thought it was the defense that, I won't say let them down, but allowed 44 points on the board? Now, there was two turnovers. One of them was on special teams. But I'm sitting here going, maybe this team really can compete in the CFL West after what I saw last night, Gino. I guess is my point. There's more pieces there maybe than we thought.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to be in the mix. I like their coaching staff, and I think that coaching staff can get a lot out of that team. But you know what? Ottawa made some plays, though. I mean,
yeah.
you can fault the defense, but a perfectly thrown ball is and a great catch by a receiver. Defense, you just can't do a lot about that, and that happened several times. I mean,
Ottawa surprised you?
Yeah, they have. I thought, you know, again, they had questions at quarterback, just like we did coming into the season, and they performed. And so, like I said, but back to that one game, they were making plays, and that's what you got to do in the CFL. And came up just a little short, but I think. I'm optimistic, as I said before.
You're always optimistic.
Well, I try and be.
It's a great way to live. Yeah, you can be optimistic. You can be pessimistic. Either way, eventually you're going to be right. One thing we love about this show, too, is if you're writing in on Facebook, tell us where you're from. Joseph Lazito writing us from New York today. Hope to meet the legend, Mr. Makowski, if I'm ever back in Regina. I'm sure that we can make that happen. Joe, just let us know where you're watching from. We've had a North Battleford this morning. We've already, the people from Norway have checked in already, Lynch, and they've had their supper and they said it was great.
That's right.
Yes. Gino, just to stray a little bit on politics, and actually here's a question from Clark. How is politics different from sports? Do you see similarities? Do you see differences? What do you see?
I think there's certainly similarities. There's the team aspect of it. You know, you're together working towards a goal to try and get better results, and you do that on the football field, and you do that in the political arena, and you're there to serve, and again try to do your best. As I mentioned, I'd say they're both pretty difficult positions to be in, as you're aware, being a Rough Rider in Saskatchewan. You're sort of always have the lights on you, and people are very aware of how you're doing on the field and that sort of thing, and so criticism is there, and rightfully so. When things don't go well, and in the political arena too, there's tough decisions that have to be made, and it's not always the most popular, but sometimes those are things that have to be done, and so those are some of the your job's on the line. I guess in football it's every game, but politically you get
every four years
or so.
That would be nice.
You're on the line, so but. Yeah, no, they're they have their challenges, but I signed up for them, so it must not be.
You remember that Sask right? Party steak and lobster supper we were at? It was at the Turvey Center. You were very new into this. I think you'd already won your seat, but I said to you, Gene, or maybe you just announced your candidacy, and I said, do you really want to be part of this? And you said, it's a little late now. You remember that? That was good. But
how do you see the CFL right now overall? I'm concerned about a lot of things, like BC, with all the hoo-ha they put up this year, they only had 18,445 fans at their opening game. Toronto's having a terrible time with attendance. So is Montreal. I don't know what to say, but it scares me. We got the beautiful stadium there. I hope we can have a competition come there in the years to come. I get scared when I see what's happening.
Yeah, I guess you're concerned about that. I guess that's up to the league level. I don't have answers for that, but that's sort of always sort of been percolating in the CFL, those major centers and being able to attract fans there. There's just so many things going on. We hear that all the time. So it kind of ebbs and flows based on how the team's doing or the ownership or the work they're doing. But there is some success stories out there. Certainly we watched the game last night. Ottawa's doing a great job. And it's interesting on the East Coast. That's something mm-hmm. that's exciting and interesting concept of that, having international players on rosters too to help gain some of that interest. You also worry about the things we've been talking about the last week too, is player safety and concussions and those sorts of things. Those are out there, and you worry about the brand that has for the game in general, not only at the pro level, but down through the minor level. So, those are challenges that you have to work through. I think we've got good people in the league, and hopefully, those things will turn around. Again, I don't have answers on how to do that.
But, it's not your job, no, but you are alumni, you and you're a fan.
Yeah,
and
yeah, for sure.
Canadian Football Hall of Famer Gene Mikuski with us. He is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders career games played leader, which I think is probably the most impressive thing to me when you, of all the guys that have come through those doors for 109 years. We've got questions here through Facebook. Kim writes in and says, I noticed that the Hoggies gave Cody time to complete passes throughout the game. Have we got the horse is on the line to have a formidable wall in front of our quarterback, whomever it is? There's one for you. That's one you can answer.
I think I can. I hope I can. Well, we got a couple key injuries, right, on the line there. The veteran Labatt has been out for since the beginning of season, so that's obviously a concern. And the kid Bladick went down last game, so you start to worry about that. If it goes any further, the drop off in the younger guys that will be required to play. But I like the what I've seen from left tackle. He's done a pretty good job in there that I've watched. And so you want those two import players to be major factors when you're playing them on the O-line. So yeah, I think they can do a good job as they gel and they come together. And I think you got a good running back to block for, and that's important, keeping that mix of run and pass going to keep those pesky defensive linemen at bay. And I think having a quarterback that that can move a little bit and knows what he's doing and throws on time when the routes are supposed to be available in those windows definitely helps the O-line. So people often look at rushing stats or sacks given up and that kind of thing, and that's a bit of an indicator, but it really is a offensive concept and how things are timed out and everyone working together. So I think we got a good group, and
we got
some youth there, but we'll keep grinding away.
You look ahead the next 5 weeks. We got 5 games, or 6 weeks, I should say. With 5 games, 4 of them at home. So this is it, I think. A real chance to get ahead. A quick start in the Western Conference. Because I look at the end of the schedule, I see something I've never seen before, Gino. I don't know if you have or not. Edmonton's comes to Regina in the last game of the year. But prior to that, we're on the road for 3 consecutive games. 3 consecutive games. I've never seen that before in the CFL. I have in the NFL, but not in the CFL.
Yeah, I think maybe that has to do with scheduling of different things taking place at the new stadium.
NHL outdoor game, yes.
That's a big factor there. So, yeah, that's one of those things you just have to realize is coming and just keep going at it, keep grinding away. And,
Is that a long time on the road, though?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's probably not ideal, but one of those things you have to work around. I remember... Toronto has a much over the last many years when they're in the Sky Dome, they had some ridiculous scheduling, very short time between games on Tuesday, what have you, and then not being back for a month or so. So and that's maybe one of those things that caused them to move to the new stadium to help with that attendance situation that they've had for many years. But just one of those things you got to overcome if you're a pro athlete and go from there.
You know what I think, Lynch? Those road games and a set like that is an excuse bad teams use. Good teams don't even think about it. That's what I think. And we'll see where the Riders are by October, but I don't think anybody's talking about that. They're talking about last night still and then getting ready for the Toronto Argonauts. I got a couple questions more for Gene Mikowski, Canadian Football Hall of Famer. Everybody's wanting your thoughts via the Facebook feed here on Dakota Shipley, the Riders' first-round pick 2 years ago. Started at right guard last night. Your take on, and of course he came from the Jets, New York Jets, your take on him so far from what you've seen.
Yeah, just I've only seen him a couple games. I haven't focused on him intently, but the times I have watched him, he's done a pretty good job. I mean, he's a young guy, new to the league, doesn't know any of the defensive linemen, but he's fitting in there okay and sure to get better as he gets to know the league and the nuances of playing that position. And it looks like he's versatile. He can play both sides, which is not... many people out there may not realize it. It is a thing. It's different. It's like batting right-handed or left-handed. Maybe not quite that much of a fine motor skill, but it is a difference. So having guys like that can step in is good news. And again, hopefully, I'm not sure the list of the folks behind. But you worry about the ratio if you have to play an American if anybody else gets injured. So
yeah, and a big one for me that I really want your take on is the what's become a war between the commissioner and the Players Association. And in your time, 17 years, right? Were you ever a player rep? Did you ever serve on the...
You know,
I don't recall that you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I
fair enough. Yeah. But I'm sure you have opinions. So
I paid my dues, though.
You paid your way out. Cool. You have to. So... Zach gets hurt and knocked out, and who knows when he's going to come back. You're following the whole situation. Simone Lawrence gets a 2-game suspension. The Players Association appeals it. And then the commissioner comes out on Wednesday and says how deeply disappointed he is in the Players Association for launching an appeal. It's costly. It's time-consuming. And we should all be on the same page as player safety. That was Wednesday night. Thursday morning, the Players Association comes out, Brian Ramsey, and just blasts the commissioner, basically saying the things you say and the things you do are two different things. Wasn't good. And that was all instigated, in my opinion, by Randy's comments Wednesday night. Just let the appeal process play out. And then, if you read the Leader Post, Murray McCormick's article, which posted online today, the commissioner's come out and said he woke up Thursday morning and realized, I don't want to fight with the players. I want to all get along and go to the same goal. Well, it's kind of late. I don't like how this has played out. What's your take as an alum that you are?
Yeah, well, certainly, first of all, it's an unfortunate situation when we lose our quarterback three plays into the season, as you mentioned before, on a play that I thought, never played linebacker before, of course, that he definitely could have led up, and knowing the quarterback and sliding feet first, that's exactly what it is. So a little disappointed in that, but the process has always kind of been there where the PA represents both the offender and the victim. And so that is a difficult situation when you have, that scenario. And I think people are asking rightfully, well, what about you standing up for Kolaris? He plays as union dues. He's a member, and he is certainly taken in the last few years some questionable shots, and that's certainly disappointing. I know the PA, their focus, I don't know for sure, but I think in the last collective bargaining agreement, player safety was big on their list, and so their stance makes you wonder about that player safety, knowing that maybe in this case two games and they saw the hit and their emphasis on player safety, maybe that's something where they would have said, now maybe within their rules and their constitution, I don't know, they're required no matter what, they don't have any conscience or decision making on what they represent or who they represent. They don't have any authority to make that decision. If a player comes forward, you have to represent them whether you like it or not. Maybe that's the case. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that a little bit. But in this case, and their emphasis on player safety, I might have said, look, Simone, that seems reasonable. That seems fair. Let's go with that and then move on.
They probably should have done that. Now, on the player safety topic, Wally and I talked about this at length a couple of weeks ago, and he says the football, not just the CFL, has a PR crisis right now because people think it's too dangerous of a sport. This is from Wally Buono. When in reality, it's probably safer now than it's ever been. Now, you have three boys. They all play football, don't they?
Well, one of them doesn't play tackle. Two of them play tackle. All three played flag.
So you are you can get concussions in flag football. Let's be honest. You can get flag concussion walking out of this room on your way out. What is your take on the state of the game of football as a guy who would be considered a stakeholder, I think, and doesn't hurt that you're pro football alum, yeah, too?
Yeah, well, I think I agree with Wally on the branding piece that, there's that perception out there that, it's a dangerous sport, and there are high profile situations where somebody gets injured or whatever it has the results after football. I certainly think that the benefits to myself and my kids vastly outweighs any possible potential injury out there. And I think sometimes I don't want to go too far, but I think some of those are highlighted too much and overstated. I'm not demeaning or trying to devalue somebody that has legitimately mm-hmm. got hurt. I don't mean to do that at all. But I think you mentioned it earlier, Rod. I've seen the concussion tests, and some of the highest ones are bike riding, skateboarding, women's soccer, women's lacrosse, and so there's never been, I think of Regina Minor Football, there's never been more emphasis on player safety in terms of the rules and how to tackle properly. The equipment is, you got a helmet on your desk that reminds me how much technology has grown over time. And I think of the CFL, of how they are protecting player safety. They, you're getting old when you're saying, oh, those guys don't hit anymore in practice. They don't do any of that stuff. And I'm there. So, but from when I started playing to now, with the rules in place in terms of padded practices, a number of practices in training camp, and just overall the penalties for player safety, which we talked about earlier, it's never been a safer time to play football. And I think the benefits to sport, particularly football, far outweigh the potential injuries.
Frenzy,
in my opinion.
I agree. It's well said. Very well said. Frenzy, you got 4 minutes with Gene Mikowski. What do you got for this Hall of Famer? From one Hall of Famer to another.
Well, to me, it's very important we have a good football team this year, Gino. I mean, we've got that beautiful stadium. I'm sure you love that stadium. I think we have a pretty good football team. That confirmed in my mind last night watching that game that we have a good football team. And I think we can be a contender for first or second place. I think it's really going to be a great race in the West this year.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly is. You look at the quarterbacking and the other four teams in the West, and they're playing well. They're playing solid. And obviously, that's a big indicator. Lots of movement among players, of course. But certainly the West didn't decrease in their quarterback play, in my opinion, and only got stronger in a few cases. So that's what we're contending with. The West has been a dogfight since I can remember, with all teams in the mix, and I expect that again. But I think the Riders can surprise some people. They have to play well, and of course, losing your starting quarterback early in the season is not an ideal scenario. But if you keep grinding, keep improving with those young guys, and shore things up on special teams and defense a little bit. Not that I think it's a long-going, occurring thing over a long period of time. I think we got good players there and good coaches. Just sometimes games happen that way, but in a long season, over time, I think we'll be all right in those scenarios, and hopefully the offense can continue what we should.
Lynch, you're out of time, Lynch. Oh,
that was too long of a question. Answer. I'm long-winded politician.
No, it's fine. You're a long-winded politician. Actually, as I say goodbye, Gene, I want to thank you personally. Theo Fleury and I both working as mental health and addictions advocates, and your government, the Honorable Jim Ryder, and the Premier Scott Moe, putting up $30 million in your last budget to mental health and addictions. So thank you. On behalf of those communities. Absolutely. I thank them, but I'll thank you now.
Well, yeah, no, we appreciate it. It's an important thing, and it continues to emerge, and it's certainly on the radar for the government, and it affects a lot of folks. And so hopefully that money's put to good use.
Absolutely. Gene, you have an open spot on this show anytime. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you very much.
Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Gene Mikowski, joining us here. Frenzy's going to stick around. We got the Bandit, Daryl Rommeld, going to join us. Darren DuPont, too, in hour two of the program this morning. Colby Armstrong, the old arm dog. Lots of things going on in advance of the NHL draft tonight and tomorrow, plus some rule changes in the NHL. And the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, Les Lazaruk, my brother from another mother, will be with us from the NHL draft floor in Vancouver. Plus, more thoughts on the Riders' loss last night in Canada's game of the week. The BC Lions at the Edmonton Eskimos tonight. We'll preview that. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca. Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body.
Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.